were overwhelmed understates how we felt. You've been a wonderful congregation, both as individuals and together. You've given your support to us and to all the team who've enjoyed coming to Salu. Alec and I will miss you all, and we pray God's blessing on you all and on your future. We know God never makes mistakes, and he has led you this far and will continue to lead and guide you as you pray your way forward. Keep praying and seeking God's leading and guiding, and keep working together as you've been doing. He will lead you to where he wants you to be and to where and how he wants you to serve. For God already knows where and who and how, and has been preparing each and all for that right time. Please keep in touch as we will you. We will continue to keep you in our prayers. Thank you all once again. If any of you are ever in Arbroath, we'd be delighted to see you at 59 Cliffburn Road. Yours in Christ Jesus, Isabel and Alec. I'll put this on the notice board at the back or on the welcome table if you want to read that again later on. And we will we will remember Alec and Isabel in our prayers as her retirement takes place at the end of the month and they make their move to Arbroath in due course. Thank you.
Good morning to everyone. It's really good to be back. I said to Ruth at the back, I think I just need to screw on my English tongue again, because in the presence of your family, I'm used to speaking Afrikaans. So maybe this morning would be a bit struggling, but I'll do my very best. It's good, as I said, to be with you. Psalm 3, verse 8. Read as follows: Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on us, your people. Let us worship our Lord this morning. Let us pray together. Holy One, who called us into being, and also the earth, the sea, the sky, all in your presence, seeing things all around us, every atom is full of your energy, of your being. Your spirit enlivens all who walk the earth. And therefore we ask you to guide us this morning through the work of your Holy Spirit within our hearts, within our thoughts, within our whole being, to participate in dialogue with each other, but also with you, in hearing your word for our lives and guiding us. And therefore, in all humbleness, we sit and we stand before you this morning, asking you not only to be our God and Father, not only to provide, but guiding us in love so that we would be able to do the same for others. Therefore, hear our prayers when we pray together as you, Jesus, taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace and mercy be unto you. And when the Lord greets us, let us greet him back. And we sing our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostle Creed with the fellow believers all around the world. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, who descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. I only see Freddy, so maybe we could stand and do our next hymn, if that is okay with you. Thank you, Laura. 5 to 8, make me a channel of your peace. Thank you.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, this was our prayer in song to really make us channels of peace. And therefore, before we have our scripture reading this morning, we also pray that you would work through us as a channel. Thank you that we may also ask of you, as we've confessed earlier, to help us in our process of forgiveness unto ourselves and unto others, and that you will guide us by hearing your word today, also on our journey this coming week. Bless us that your word, when we hear it now, may fall in the right places within our thoughts and in our hearts. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
This morning's first reading is taken from Psalm 4 and can be found on pages 544 in the Bible. Psalm 4, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when there were grains and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, 13 to 35, and can be found on 1061 in the Pew Bibles. It's entitled, On the Road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. They were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you're walking along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened here in these last days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Here on a dusty road between Jerusalem and Emmaus, we obviously found Cleopas and his fellow traveler a bit disappointed with what happened the last few days. And as we gained from the text in Luke 24, it was clear that they went to what we know in the Christian fest as the Passover for the Jews and Easter for ourselves. And as a lot of the followers of Jesus, because we also heard from the text, they knew some of the other followers of Jesus Christ, they were also hoping that this was really the Messiah. And as we know the history, also hoping that the Savior would literally come on a white horse. And then he drove in on a donkey. Yes. And then to top that all, he was accused, and we know the rest of the story. He was crucified and, buried. And in his place, an actual criminal was released, which I would think would sadden me if I was in that situation. And as we might know, the Jews, they believed that on the fourth day, or actually at the end of the third day, if you passed on, your soul will leave your body. And Luke 24 tells us quite clearly that this was the third day on their way back home. So they had no hopes for miracles anymore and for this Messiah. And at the end of this day on the road to Emmaus, this would quite be the end of the history and everything that surrounded the life of Jesus Christ and the so-called Messiah. And then we know the rest of the story where Jesus came along and got together. And again, when you read the text, again, I heard something different than studying the text back home. They were kept from seeing him. And one could ask yourself, was that God himself that kept them from seeing him, or was it just their circumstances? Now, some of us might, through life, also have similar times and feelings, being disheartened, dispirited, having disruptive times in our lives, disappointed in the way life goes. Similar to Cleopas and his fellow traveler, and we don't know who the fellow traveler is, which actually makes it an open-ended story, and we could be the co-traveler or whoever. It could have been his wife. It could have been another man. We don't know. But we quite often, and maybe I'm generalizing, but quite often find ourselves in a similar situation where it's only a dusty road ahead of us. And when we look back, it's also a dusty road behind us. And we're on our way home, wherever Emmaus would be for us. And I would ask myself the question, righteousness and justice, is it only an ideal that seems to never come to us? Is it the disappointment in life of people making promises and not keeping to it? For these two travelers, I'd say all hope was gone at this stage. But Luke 24 tells us that they were on their way and they were conversing. Now, the second thing I would ask myself is, where would I find Emmaus And there's different opinions on where the place Emmaus would have been. And to be quite honest, if we pull a bit of the commentaries together and, my English fails me again. Analytics, yes. And they'd be honest and tell us, we don't quite know where Emmaus exactly were. So that's the one thing. We don't know where Emmaus were or was or is. The other question would be, do we know where Jerusalem is? Yes, we do know where Jerusalem is. Well, from the facts of the Bible and today, knowing it on the map, we know where Jerusalem is. But thinking of the Gospel of Luke, pointing to Jerusalem, Jesus going to Jerusalem, being crucified, and then in Acts, when Luke continue his Gospel, we read that the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the birth of the church, also again has its origin in Jerusalem with the disciples and going out to the rest of the world. So yes, Jerusalem, we know where that is. That is the place where one would find the Lord. We would find Jesus. We would find something of the Lord. And then I want to draw it to our own lives, asking the question, so where's our Emmaus and our Jerusalem? Because all of us have a Emmaus and a Jerusalem, whether we consciously think of it or not. Jerusalem might be something like this, being together in a Sunday service this morning. We see God, we hear of God, we experience the fellowship between fellow believers, bringing our own questions, sharing our goodness and the good being of life, sharing our sorrows with each other. So this could be a setup of a Jerusalem, figuratively speaking, then, in our lives. And then the other question would be, and Jerusalem could be something else for different people. It could be a Sunday service. It could be a place of contentment, maybe early in the morning or in the afternoon or evening on your own. Maybe Jerusalem for some people is a place in nature where they find a nice space and place to just be content and converse with the Lord. So there's different types of Jerusalems, and maybe you have your own type of Jerusalem. On the other hand, it's a good question to where our Emmaus is. Emmaus could be various different places and forms. Emmaus could be, and you could fill in the blank space. Emmaus could be, let's think, in front of the television with the remote control. Emmaus could be in a pub where you have a sip or two. Emmaus could be a very busy town center or a shopping center or a mall where money and a credit card helps you on your way there and inside the shops. Emmaus could be a lot of places. It's part of the journey. Different places for different people. And on the way to Emmaus, sometimes to balance life is a tricky thing. I wanted to say to balance your wife and husband, then I thought, don't start with the wife. It's a sensitive topic, balancing your wife. Balancing life, your children, your grandchildren, your family, your friends, and then the dog as well. It's a challenging thing. And we can't necessarily tell anyone where Emmaus is exactly in our lives because it takes on different forms. As some people find contentment in silence, other people's Emmaus would be just to withdraw in themselves and tub on their own thoughts, not going forward. And the question would be, do we see God in the Emmaus moments or in the journey to Emmaus? It's difficult. We can be honest with each other. It's not that easy. To be in church and to be part of a community, it's great. We experience God. We can share the experience of the Lord. And we can encourage each other in stages when we struggle to see God or experience God. But traveling on our own, cutting out the spaces of where God is present, surrounding us with different things, becomes a struggle for a lot of people. And as I said in the beginning, I don't want to generalize, but I think it is true of a lot of our lives. We struggle to see God, not in Jerusalem, but in Emmaus. When I go back to the text, or when we read the text, there's a lot to say about the text. It's a very rich text. But I see mainly five moments or movements within the text that would help us, to assist us when we move from Jerusalem up till Emmaus. And I know there's different forms in the text, and we could gain different things from the text. But the first thing I gain from the text is when Jesus actually joins this company on the road, and they are together. These are, and this is assumption, but I think it's a very good assumption, it's fellow believers. I said it might have been a husband and a wife or two other followers of Jesus Christ. They were believers, well, at least of the Old Testament. We heard that during their journey. And in the togetherness, without knowing, they were in the presence of the living God. Wishing for the living God, they were in the presence of the living God. Now, just to illustrate the situation, and you might know various stories like this, a story of the man who was also searching for a job, but he was an older man and he was struggling financially, couldn't get through in life, going for interview, passing out, getting out his CV, but nothing came about. And he was disappointed because he felt like God was failing him in this situation, and things did not get better. Until a point where he was entering a big train station, and he saw, while going to the train, he saw this little boy seemingly to be lost, and the boy was crying out, "Where's my mommy?" And the mother placed her hand on his shoulder from behind, and she said, "I'm here, don't worry." And the same in his life, he realized, oh, although I'm searching for God, and although it feels like he's not here, he's actually here. And I'm not searching for his presence, but I am in his presence, although I struggle to grasp and understand it all the time. Now, from these two fellow travelers, I gained that they were in the presence of God, not knowing it consciously, but they were in the living God's presence, in Jesus Christ's presence. And they were traveling within that space. Very interesting. It sounds strange and trying to sum it up or summarize it. 4 years ago, in part of the studies, it was I was reading up on the concept of time and space, but with regards to theology and with regards to God. And there's a lot to be said. But the one thing that's very interesting, and I might have mentioned it previously to some of you, is we must always remember that God is the creator of space. And I don't speak of the universe, of space and stars. And I'm speaking of space. If I won't go to Alistair today, and I won't pick, but this is space. If I get too close for comfort, I'm getting into Liz's space. But space is not only created by us, it's a creation of God. The space where you and I live on this planet was created by God. Time is and was created by God. And therefore, it's the old thing, we can remember that God has the ability to be before any time and any space. After any time and any space, but also obviously within any time and any space. Therefore, he is God. And although I struggle sometimes to find and see him, I must never forget that the Creator is not myself, but I'm living in this presence of His space and His time. And therefore, these two people were walking in the space and time, having the fellowship of each other, and I compare it with fellowship on a Sunday morning with us, knowing that we can share our lives is the first moment or the first movement in this journey of the Emmaus goers. The second movement is when Jesus Christ starts questioning them, or they're actually questioning Jesus. Are you the only visitor that hasn't seen anything of the past few days? And then what does Jesus do? He's explaining the word to them. He's going to the law of Moses, and he's explaining the prophets, explaining everything, even explaining some of the Psalms, some of the commentaries would tell us, pointing to him as the Messiah, as Jesus Christ. And that's what we do on a Sunday. We share the word of God. We help each other to understand it with the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd say that would be the second movement. And as part of it, don't forget that these two travelers, in their togetherness, they invite a total stranger within their midst. I'll get back to that a little bit later. So, being together, the one as fellow believers, sharing the word, and then we hear one of the oldest prayers in the Christian tradition, which would be said in abbeys through years and years and years after this, is a prayer. A prayer by these travelers asking him, stay with us. Stay with us. And then obviously the prayer goes on, which would be an evening prayer. Stay with us because the day is ending and the night is ahead. And I ask myself, do I pray that on my journey to Emmaus, whether it be home or wherever? Do I pray that prayer? Stay with me, Lord. Do I help the process to remind myself of the presence of the Lord? So I hear praying together and praying for the presence of the Lord in this text is quite an important part of it. And then the fourth movement, and that's a great happening in the text, is they invite Jesus, obviously, to eat with them. And the moment when Jesus takes the bread, he thanks his Father for the bread, blesses everything, and then when he breaks the bread, they realize, oh, but this is Jesus, the Messiah. This is the promised Lord. And I would ask myself, would I be able to recognize Jesus in that situation? Because it was only when he broke the bread, and in remembering what Jesus said is, when you break bread together, and these were not part of the 12, but I gained that the communion was not only maybe the 12, but other people around that as well, the Last Supper with Jesus. When he broke the bread, then remembering, it clicked. His body was broken for us. This is what he said. He's really within the presence. And again, I ask myself, Ati, how many times do you really see the Lord in the so-called uncommon times of the day? Maybe unconsciously or subconsciously, I don't know which is the right terminology. I also expect the Messiah to come on a white horse, not literally, but my own expectations, to be in my Emmaus. But maybe he's present in a total different way. And then the last movement of this text is when they go out again. They go to the other disciples and they tell the other disciples, let's go out. So I see a movement from Jerusalem guiding us and energizing us to say, yes, how would we go ahead with the road? We could ask ourselves this morning, all right, so Jerusalem is fine, and Emmaus, what do we do with Emmaus? How do I tackle Emmaus when I go home, when I see some troubles, when I see some challenges, when I need to face them, and when within the space of God, I forget whose space it is. And therefore, this text of Luke 24 challenges me And I want to challenge you as well this morning. When you do sit in front of the television with the remote control, to think differently about it. I don't know, do you watch soapies or series or the news or whatever? I want to challenge you to search for the stranger, because this was a stranger traveling with Cleopas and his fellow traveler, to search for the stranger within the normal settings of life. When you sit in front of the television with your remote control, whether it be the news or whether it be sport, I was thinking of someone that's a great rugby fan, this side of the pews, I won't point, saying, what a brilliant game, or really, that sucked. I mean, we have our comments, but thinking beyond that, wow, Lord, within this space of a rugby match, or if you're a soccer supporter, you gave these people the opportunity to do this. You gave the crowd the enthusiasm to shout at the top of their voices to enjoy this part of life. Do I see you here? Do I see life within this situation? Yes, I do, even if I'm in the comfort of my recliner chair jumping channels. Am I discomforted by the news sometimes? Yes, I am. But Lord, could I see you within this Emmaus? Lord, I struggle with my family. We really don't struggle with our family. And last Sunday, I also mentioned the family. Everything is fine with our family. I hope so. Lord, I really struggle. I really struggle with him or her or that situation. But thank you still for the other part which you bless me with. Thank you that we may live within the goodness of your goodwill. And then discovering that Jesus is present with his Spirit within my Emmaus, within the places where I think the road is just a dusty road ahead, and when looking back, also dusty. Not forgetting in the vastness of the journey, I have a stranger, in hyphens, that knows my life and shares the space where I'm going. I challenge you. It's an easy challenge, also a difficult challenge. And when you have a Pringle or a chippy or a crisp, what do you call them? Crisps. You have a crisp. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom. Someone thought of crisps. I know it's silly to think it. I shared this, and this would be the last thing. I shared this with some of you. Earlier in my life, I would get very frustrated and upset with people that were lazy. I would think, really, they are just wasting their lives, which is also true on one hand. But on the other hand, I gained another thing, to pray when I see a lazy person or a lazy situation. And I this is something, with all respect, this is my prayer. Lord, thank you that I can observe such a lazy person. I know it doesn't, it's not your will for them to be lazy, but that you've created them with the creativeness to think of all the excuses under the sun not to do their work. Lord, that is brilliant, to give them a brain like that. It's sad that it's going to waste, but within the Emmaus, also recognizing God. I said I'm going to end, and this is the end. So the end question would always be, who is God? Who is God? Is God my creator? Do I see him? Do I confess that? Is he the forgiver? Is he my savior? If I answer yes to those questions, then the rest of the questions, as who's my neighbor, how am I ought to live, supposed to live, then they follow logically. That's the first question, who is God? And may you live this week in front of the telly, with the family, wherever, with that question, the priority question, who is God? And then we act on our Emmaus journey. Amen. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that, yes, that you gave us your word, a living word, more than 2,000 years gaining from this experience of two other travelers. And if you are the creator of heaven, earth, of time, of space, and of us, then Jesus Christ, your resurrection, connects us with all fellow believers around the world and throughout the ages. We've read in the passage that you've just disappeared from these travelers after a while, and then you appeared to others again. And you gave us your Holy Spirit to guide us. And therefore we believe that you are present right here now in this space with us. Thank you that nothing keeps you out in life. Not our journeys, not our thoughts, our restrictions, the restrictions others may place on us and on our lives. And that you are present anytime and everywhere. And therefore it's my prayer that you will guide us this coming week, the moment when we go out from the last movement here in Jerusalem this morning, that you would guide us in seeing you in uncommon ways and unexpected ways throughout our movement, our ways, and that our hearts would also be warmed when we discover you in different places. Maybe it's definitely in the way a stranger crosses our path, or maybe it's in the old familiar friend or family member that maybe we've lost the ability to hear them. Guide us to listen to you and help us remembering you as our God, the living God. We pray this in your name because you are the one that came to set us free. We pray this in your name as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing CH4 before we do our offering. CH4 360, Jesus Christ is waiting. I would say shall we sing all the verses as usual? All right, that'll be fine. Thank you, Laura. They vary, the verses, but it's about the presence of Christ where we live in the moment. Let us bring our offers unto the Lord. Thank you, Andy, for doing the prayers of intercession and the future.
Just before I do the prayers, on behalf of Ati and myself, could I give a big, big thank you to those that helped at the Celtic Kirk service last Sunday. Some people over an hour and a half before the service, helping setting up and getting things organized in many different areas. Those who helped during the service, and those that stayed behind for an hour or longer after the service to help clear things up. One of the lovely things for the service, for myself, having been involved over the last 3 or 4 years in particular, is that often we haven't had all four ministers from the four different churches involved there because churches have been in vacancy. And at this time, it was lovely to have Ati from our own church, Shorus from Belly Church, and, of course, he was on paternity leave during the last Celtic Kirk service, although the baby was good enough to come a couple of weeks early, so he was able to attend it. We had Father Kingsley from Nigeria, the Roman Catholic priest from St. Mary's involved in the service, and Michael Last, the Episcopal priest from Gordon Chapel as well. So it was lovely that all four were involved. And usually one would take the lead in the kind of the sermon or the reflection, and it was lovely that all four had a little section that they did in the service, all on the same theme of spiritual water, and it all seemed to come together really well. I did notice during the service at one point, though, that Atty from South Africa and Father Kingsley from Nigeria did leave the hot main tent and search for a little bit of shade outside. You know, it just became a bit too hot, the Scottish weather, for them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our prayers for others today, we think of those who are traveling on journeys, both spiritual and physical. We pray for the future journey of our own church and those that worship and minister within it. We earnestly desire that we will always aim to walk closely with you in all aspects of our lives, to seek you and your kingdom first, and when Jesus asks us to join him on his journey, that we will gladly follow him. We thank you for the way you have guided Reverend Atty in his own spiritual and physical journey that has led him to minister to us in so many ways. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to share with him on that journey, and ask you to continue to bless the future time we will walk and talk and worship together. And we pray that Atty will feel refreshed from his recent holiday and inspired by his involvement with worship during his journey away from Salou last month. But it's great, Lord, to have him back. We pray for those who are experiencing a difficult point in their spiritual journey at this time, where they don't feel as strong in their faith as they have in the past, and don't feel as connected to you in their lives as they once did. Help them to realize they are not alone in feeling this way, that even the closest disciples of Jesus experienced doubts and fears as they walked with Christ, and were on occasion blind to things of the Spirit. We pray that those feeling this way will find the right Bible passage, the right prayer, and the right people that will guide them back onto their journey to get to know you better. May they be certain that your Holy Spirit will not only point them in the right direction, but will always remain with them on that journey. We pray your Spirit will also guide those who they will turn to for help, and give them the right words and the right actions that will help those in the world who seek you to find your pathway. We pray also for those who are traveling on physical journeys. We think of those who want to go on a journey but have encountered problems that have delayed or changed their plans. Grant them patience where needed and tolerance with those who are trying to improve their situation. We especially pray for those who are on a difficult physical and emotional journey through no fault of their own. We pray for those who are forced to leave their own homes because they can no longer find safe shelter there for many reasons, and particularly for those who are suffering because of abuse, violence, or fear they find there. We pray for migrants who feel they have no choice but to leave their homeland to seek shelter, food, and safety in foreign lands. And we pray for wisdom for the heads of the families who may have very difficult decisions to take that will affect the future hopes and securities of not only themselves, but those who are in their care. Almighty God, help those already resident where these migrants are heading to receive them gladly into a strange land and a strange situation, as Jesus himself would welcome the outsider. May their eyes be opened as to the migrant's plight, and may your Holy Spirit encourage them to welcome these refugees with loving arms, as they would wish to be welcomed themselves if they had been forced out of their own homes and land. We pray for those who traveled to the food festival in Gilroy, California last Sunday and encountered injury and death. And we ask you to give support to the families and friends of the many who died and were injured in the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas yesterday, and the news coming through this morning that there have been further mass shootings and deaths in Dayton, Ohio. So many people will be asking the question, why? We pray that good medical and spiritual care will be made available for those who are suffering from physical injury and emotional trauma, both in America and across the world, and that your hand will be guiding and giving strength to those who are providing relief to them at the beginning of their journey of recovery. And we pray for wisdom and action for those who can make new laws, if they so desire it, that may help to prevent such acts happening again in the future. And help us to remember that you, God, always listen to our prayers, even if you don't always answer them in ways that we expect. Help us never to forget in our prayers those who are trying to give care and support to those who are in need, not just in America, that's in the news just this week, but wherever they are in the world at this time. And finally, help us to remember that Jesus is present here and now with us through his Spirit, wherever we are in our spiritual journeys, whether in Jerusalem or our times in Emmaus, even when we don't always remember Jesus as much as we should. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Anna. Our closing hymn, 641. Let's just sing the first verse, because that was the last part of the sermon. The question, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord will set out before you to prepare the road ahead, and the Lord will be behind your back to shelter you against onslaughts of evil. And the Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his arms of love, be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall, be above you to bless you, and live within your heart so you will live from his grace in abundance. Amen.